This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Amin. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Baraka nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam taslima kathira thumma ma ba'd. So we go over these questions inshallah ta'ala here. A question about a takhliya qabla tahliya, which means to vacate before you start sweating your heart. Like, make sure that you empty your heart from whatever residues that are in there before you start adding the sweetness of faith and iman in it. So that you talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Can you give some examples of our times now, things to avoid, and would that concept relate to purifying topic today, or it's used as a holistic method to treat the heart? Actually, it is used as a holistic method to treat the heart altogether. So there is no one time for it, like yani tahliya in the past was different than today, or tahliya in the past was different than today. It's the same. When you want to purify your heart, you need first of all to make it empty from anything that distracts it. So whether it's envy, whether it's jealousy, the love for this dunya, grudges you hold against somebody, kibir, arrogance, all these things will definitely gonna fill your heart with negativity that will make it unfortunately counterproductive. You want your heart to be strong and productive, you're gonna have to learn first of all to vacate all these things out of your heart, and then you start putting the sweetness of what? Love for the sake of Allah, tolerance, patience, forgiveness, and so on. All these things that comes into the heart will come afterwards. But if you try to learn to become, let's say, try to forgive people, when you still have arrogance, good luck with that. How are you going to forgive people if you always look down upon them, for example, at them? It's not going to happen. So you're going to have to learn to clear the heart, and then you start filling it with good things, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Question from the sisters, from what I understand, the hadith means that in an Islamic state, those who reject salah and zakah as a pillar of Islam are fought against, but someone who is being lazy, we advise them. Is that correct? That is correct according to the majority. Well, when you say fight against them, obviously that's, like we said, collectively, if a community decides not to pray altogether, so the state will fight against them. But individuals, they will be reported, and they will be brought to the court, and the court tried to advise them, to hold them, you know, accountable, and so on. So if they, alhamdulillah, they listen, that's good. If not, they will be punished. Those who don't pray out of laziness, they're still, if they're reported, they will be brought again to the court and deal with them. The idea is that they need to pray regardless. Now, in regards to the hukum, are they considered Muslims or non-Muslims? The majority of the ulama, they say if someone abandons salah out of laziness, they're still considered Muslims, but they're disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only in the Hanbali school, not Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad, the Hanbali school that says a person who does not pray is considered out of the fold of Islam, whether out of laziness or actually or deliberately. So for the Arabs to be killed, if they don't, talk about the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they don't accept Islam, I learned from a sheikh, this was because every nation that didn't believe in the messenger that was sent to them was killed, like Qawm Nuh, Thamud, and Ad, and so on. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَغَلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. So those who didn't believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Arab were ordered to be killed because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to the Arabs, especially because he was from them and the whole mankind. I mean, I wouldn't say that this is exactly the true meaning of it, because there were Arab who were Christians and Jewish as well too. And the Prophet was not, you know, ordered, of course, to fight them like those people. If they paid zakah, if they paid jizya, khalas, you leave them alone, even though they're Arab, because they're Ahl Kitab. So I wouldn't say that this is the main reason actually for that. Wallahu alam. In regard to salah, I see people saying that one difference between a believer and an unbeliever is prayer, but not offering salah or neglecting it. Would you say that this takes someone out of the fold of Islam? Once again, hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very clear. This is what you mentioned here, it's actually a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah. The criteria that differentiate between a believer and an unbeliever is salah. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. If someone abandons salah altogether, then this person left Islam. So therefore, yeah, it is actually very dangerous for people to abandon Salah altogether. Like some people don't even pray Jum'ah. People sometimes they don't even pray Eid at all, like not even once a year, subhanAllah. So if they abandon Salah altogether collectively, yes, it takes that person out of the fold of Islam. So the recommendation for trimming the nails and the hair is 40 days. However, in the case that one doesn't have hair growth within 40 days, what would the recommendation be? Go to Turkey and plant your hair, Yahya. Look, the idea is to stay always clean and clear. So if someone's hair doesn't grow, you know, until maybe more than 40 days, which is very hard, yani, in average, I would say, the idea is to stay always clean and clear. So your underarms, always shaved. I repeat, always shaved. Don't come and tell me, well, in our culture, we don't do that. No, the sunnah is to do it. The same thing, the pubic area, always shaved and always clean. Don't say that, you know what, in our culture, there is no such thing. The Prophet said some culture is to be clean. And don't wait 40 days to do that. If you take shower every week, and I hope you take more than that, but if you take showers every week, at least every Jummah, you do that. And because it's summer once again, you might be doing it every day, maybe twice a day or three times a day. So every time you have a chance to clean yourself, alhamdulillah, make sure to do so, barakallahu feekum. Is there any recommendation against performing ghusl around midnight? Not that I know of, Allahu alam. I mean, it's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Actually, if someone, let's say they were intimate, that they take shower and they go to sleep. If not, make wudu and go to sleep. If not, wait until wake up for fajr, yani. So anytime it happens, it should be okay. So you mentioned the four of them in terms of sunnah al-fitrah, the sunnah of the natural innate. We mentioned trimming the mustache and growing the beard, the hair removal, the removal of the pubic underarms and the pubic area, trimming of the nails. What is the fifth one? Anyone knows? Al-khitan, circumcision. Circumcision is some of the sunnah al-fitrah as well, the Prophet has mentioned. Is wudu still valid if there is oil or lotion on your hair and skin? The answer is yes. We talk about oil or lotion. But if you're talking about coat, like if you use any lotion or any kind of material that leaves a coat on your skin, like for example, like wax, or for example, what do you call them? Nail polish, for instance, then you can't make wudu over that. Or if you have an artificial nail that you put on your nails, for example, that will prevent your wudu from being perfect. I know people are going to talk about breathable, you know, nail polish and all that stuff. I don't believe in that thing. Because the sunnah is not to let the water seep to your fingernails. The sunnah on the wudu is the water to run over your fingernail. Run over your body, not over your fingers, not seeping under. So the breathable one is only allowed the moisture to go in there. That's not wudu, Jama'ah. The wudu is for the water to run over it. That's what it means. Now. What about henna? Does henna prevent the wudu, Jama'ah? No, it's color, so it should be fine. Is there anything wrong with growing one's hair? No. But don't tell me it's sunnah. The sunnah is not to grow your hair. We talk about men, obviously, here's the question. It's not sunnah to grow your hair. It's your own habit. Should be fine. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he shaved, he grew his hair, he braided his hair, many different ways, salawatullah wa salam. Was the kafir's wealth and blood halal to spill before them saying the shahada in that context? The answer is no. As individuals, no, it was not. But collectively as a community, when there was war, obviously anyone who was in the battlefield, they would be exposed to that. But anyone who was in their homes, and their you know, men, women, children, they're all protected. Nah. And elderly as well too. So someone's asking about zakah. So we don't want to go into the fiqh question, Jama'ah, over here, but what's the percentage of zakah from the income? Well, if you have reached the nisab, which is the bare minimum, the threshold, that's the value of 85 gram of pure gold, Now it is around actually 5,000, probably maybe 700 or something. Allahu A'lam. So if someone has that kind of amount of wealth in their possession for over a year, then they pay 2.5% on all the money that they have in their hand. Minus, obviously, you have all that money, minus your debts, the immediate debt that you owe in that month, the rest of it, if it's still above the nisab, you pay 2.5%. For example, if someone has $10,000 in their hand, and they're now counting a year. At Ramadan, it was 10,000. Alhamdulillah, you start counting your zakat, right? Now you're basically the zakatable year. So you start counting that, your money is going 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, went down to 20, and then went up again to 70, and went down again to 30, and then it keeps fluctuating, but never went below the $5,700. At the end of the year, you say, for example, I have 50,000 left in my hand right now. Okay, I owe this much money for my monthly mortgage payments, my furniture payments, my car payment, my student loan payments, all these payments. That takes about 20,000 out. So I'm left with 30,000. You pay 2.5% from the $30,000. Okay, so someone is confused about fighting against those who don't pay zakah or pray. Once again, we're not talking about individuals. We're talking about in a community. If there was an Islamic rule, and in that Islamic rule, one village, one community refused to pay the zakah altogether. They said, we're not going to pay zakah at all. Or one community refused to pray at all, so we're not going to pray. That's it. We're Muslim, but we're not going to pray as a community. The Islamic State or the government in that place, they have the right to fight against these people, but not as individuals. You don't go yourself and fight your neighbors because they don't pray or they don't want to pay zakah, for example. You're not going to do that. Or just because you're a bunch of young men, mashallah, who find themselves to be strong, they establish their own state somewhere in the desert, and they want to fight everybody else right now. No, you cannot do this. We talk about legit, actually, an Islamic government. What is the proper way to cut your fingernails? With your mouth, probably. I mean, come on, Jama'ah. Just use a clipper, inshallah, you'll be fine. It should be okay. If you're talking about specific tradition or habits, some people, they say, can I do it in the bathroom? Should I do it actually, somewhere where I can collect everything that comes out and then bury it in the ground? All these things are cultural. Obviously, we expect you when you do that, you do it in a place where you're not going to fall to someone's food, yani, right? So do it in a place where it's appropriate. Make sure to protect you and the cleanness of the house and the place as well, too, inshallah ta'ala, should be fine. Do you have to bury it in the ground? No, you don't have to. You can throw it in the trash. What is the proper way to do the miswak? Well, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah has an interesting opinion. He says the miswak in general, if you have a miswak in your hand, says that if you think the miswak to be an act of ibadah on its own right, then use your right hand. But if you think that the miswak, the use of the miswak is for cleanness, then use what? Your left hand. Because the sunnah of the Prophet for good things and act of ibadah, to use the right hand. For active cleanness, he would use his left hand. So it depends on how you look, how to view that. So if you use it as an ibadah again, you use your right hand. If you use it as to clean, then you use your left hand. And if you use it, should you start from the right side of your mouth or the left side of your mouth? Same thing. So it's from the left side or the right side. It depends on how you look at it. What about the tongue? Do you also clean your tongue? The answer is yes. You clean your tongue. Nowadays, by the way, if you buy these toothbrushes today, what do you find on the other side? Yeah, it's a rough surface. Why is that for? This is for you to use so you can scrub your tongue with. Because nowadays, you know, they say that, look, if you want to clean your mouth and have that dental hygiene and smell nice, it's the tongue that's the problem, not the teeth. So you scrub your tongue when you wake up before you go to sleep and you clean your... The Prophet ﷺ used to do that. In Hadith Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda, he said, one time I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet was kind of like, he was relaxing. He was kind of like leaning, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, relaxing, stretching his feet, and he had a miswak in his hand. He says, kana sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was cleaning his mouth, and he said he was rubbing his tongue, yatahawwa'u fi. What does that mean? He was like exaggerating, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and scrubbing his tongue all the way until it goes to the back, like you're almost gagging while he's doing that. You know, you only gag if you do what? You push all the way back. Like he was really, really rubbing and scrubbing his tongue, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make sure it's clean. So yeah, if you use the miswak, you can also, don't forget to scrub your tongue as well too. Someone recently told me that trimming the nails on Friday is not sunnah. Is it or it is not? I don't know about that. All what I know is that on Friday you need to be clean. If you don't want to do it on Friday, do it the night before then. So make sure that you do it. But I don't think there's anything against doing it on Friday. You should be fine, inshallah. Are women allowed to pray at the masjid without a mahram for any time of the day? Or is it recommended that women only stay at home to pray? Well, women, they can come to the masjid anytime they want. That's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, "La tamna ima Allah masajid Allah." Do not prevent the female servants of Allah from coming to the houses of Allah Azza wa Jalla. However, in terms of preference, the Prophet ﷺ said that the best place for the women to pray is their house. Now, some they say this, that look, this is actually a sexist, you know, statement. It's, you know, a chauvinistic statement. Look, it's barakah for the women. It's a very pragmatic answer, really, because most women, alhamdulillah, once they get married, they can't come to the masjid easily. If they're going to be hauling all the whole family, mashallah, 2-3 kids and 4 kids to come to the masjid, they can't do that every single salah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wants them to not to feel guilty. He said, look, you pray at home, you have your reward, alhamdulillah, better for you. But if she wants to come to the masjid, ala wa salam, she can. Doesn't have to have a mahram with that. Waxing is fine as well too, versus trimming or shaving. If someone is saying the Shahada purely for the sake of saying it and are not acting upon it whatsoever, and when you try to guide them, they're consistently rejecting it out of laziness, does this keep them in the fold of Islam? You said out of laziness. So if it's out of laziness, they're still Muslims. Like if they admit that they should pray, but they don't want to pray because they're lazy, may Allah forgive them, yani. But they need to learn and try to do it right. Okay, so we're getting into very detailed fiqh questions right now. No. What is the size of a miswak stick? What size? I mean, enough to put in your pocket, yani. That's all. So that should be easy, inshallah ta'ala. Any side, there's no real preference in that regard, except that the Prophet ﷺ, he likes it always when it's fresh, obviously, and it's soft. So if you can find that, alhamdulillah, fresh and soft, that would be great, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.